Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
This show is a proud member of the On Us All Podcast Network.
I will protect those who cannot protect themselves. I will protect even those I hate, so long as it is right. I accept that there will be people that I cannot protect, and I will protect myself so that I may continue to protect others. Those are Kaladin Stormblessed's Knight's Radiant ideals, and that's who we're talking about today.
And if you're anything like me and want to know who the hell is Kaladin Stormblessed, and you've been wondering this whole time, what on earth is TJ's avatar? Great news. Today is the episode where we're going to find out. Part of our Faces Behind the series. We're here. I'm Joshua Knoll, here with the one and only Pod Almighty, TJ Tiberius Juan Blackwell, who's going to tell us about the character his avatar was fashioned after.
Yeah.
Kaladin Stormblessed. Mm-hmm. Which, okay. That's the extent of what I know about this character. So today I'm going to just be asking him questions because I know the name of the character. I know it's something to do with slavery now. That the bridge four is not four people. And that it's TJ's avatar. So, if you know that much, you're caught up with me and ready for the episode.
Yep.
Oh, actually, I think I know the name of the author of these books. It's like Brandon Sanderson.
That's correct.
Now I'm pretty sure we've mined all I know. I'm Joshua Knoll. You're with TJ. We're going to talk about what we're geeking out on before we jump into anything else. TJ, what have you been geeking out on lately?
Breaking Bad. Yep. That's pretty much all I've been doing. Actually, Apex Legends, again, and Breaking Bad, but... Between anything that doesn't need my direct attention, watching Breaking Bad.
Me and the wife have been watching Riverdale. We've almost finished it. Parts of it I really like. Yeah.
Don't they get like superpowers or something?
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Let's take some wild turns. You know those things like I say a joke where it's just me saying something really absurd that just obviously is not going to be what happened?
Yeah, it always happens.
So far, all of my absurd jokes are actually what happens.
Yeah, that's one show I know for sure. Jump the shark, and
yeah,
they really did. They went for it.
I'm kind of glad, but yeah, this isn't a Riverdale episode. I've also been playing Mass Effect. I'm much more positive about it. I like both though. And with that out of the way, guys, if you like this show as much as I like Mass Effect, then you should rate and review our show. Do the 5 stars, whatever, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. It helps other people find our show, gets the word out, so we're able to continue to grow and continue to do episodes like this. And I have fun doing this, so I appreciate those who do the rates and reviews so that I can keep doing this. Also want to shout out one of our financial sponsors today. I'm going to shout out the one and only Gunnar Burgum, who I've never known if I've said his name correctly. Gunnar, please let me know how bad I'm pronouncing your name. But we do really appreciate you, man, and your financial support. If you guys want your own shout out like Gunner and want to see if I can pronounce your name correctly, then all you got to do is become an official member on the Systematic Geekology website. The link is in the show's description. Same link will get you to where we have all kinds of other merch, free content, etc., including a special t-shirt that we have for this series, The Faces Behind Us, our annual theme of the year. So the shirt will be good till the end of the year. I'm trying to find it, like, I don't like that. Anyway, I like the shirt a lot. It's one of the only shirts we have that actually looks good in purple. I don't have a lot of purple shirts, so I was pretty stoked to get it. If you guys enjoy it, like what we're doing with this series, talking about the characters behind our main characters, consider getting a shirt while supplies last. And of course, if you want to find the playlist of the entire series, Faces Behind Us, annual theme, the another link in the show's description. There's a lot of links down there. They're all for pretty much good stuff, I think. Most of them involve more of TJ. There's an entire TJ playlist and the Faces Behind Us so far. That whole playlist is also TJ right now. Up until the next episode. Yeah. So let's go ahead and let's jump into our main topic today. TJ, who the hell's Kaladin Stormblessed?
The goat. Next question.
All right, guys, this was a great episode.
Yep.
What? Yep. All right, let's backtrack, because I know you care a lot about like books and whatever. So this is from a series of books by Brandon Sanderson. I feel like I've heard that name before, and I think I've heard controversial things about that name. What do I know about Brandon Sanderson?
Yeah. So he writes, you know, the infinite monkeys theorem?
No.
So the idea is that if you put an infinite number of monkeys on an infinite number of typewriters, eventually one of them would write the entire works of Shakespeare. Just because he writes like he is all of those monkeys. He is just literally constantly pumping out books.
So the opposite of the George R. R. Martin problem.
Yeah, complete opposite. Okay. George R. R. Martin, Patrick Rothfuss, never heard of them. Probably the most controversial things for a lot of people is that he's Mormon.
Oh.
Yeah.
But that used to be way more controversial.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like it's that big a deal these days.
There might be some more problematic things that I'm not super aware of. He lives on like a compound. It's pretty sweet.
Interesting.
It's pretty sweet. But he has written Mistborn, which is one of, I think, probably is might be his most popular work. He finished the Wheel of Time series when Robert Jordan passed. Yeah.
Interesting.
So he's one of those names that get brought up when people are like, what are we going to do when George R. R. Martin dies before he finishes that book? Pretty much everyone's like, well, Brandon Sanderson can finish it. That wouldn't be that good. I don't think.
Well, you know, I guess not all the listeners know how I feel about Game of Thrones. I'm just not sure there is a way to have a good ending. I just don't think it was a good premise for the most part.
Yeah. See, the issue is that I think Brandon Sanderson's greatest struggle as a writer, and I think he's admitted this even, is he's not that good at writing endings. When it comes time to make the conclusion to whatever he's writing, we call it the Sanderlanch.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's just a lot starts happening. The pace of the book goes way up. It's like a long, extended climax. And this series does suffer from that, especially when the truth, this last one, was insane. It's just a couple hundred pages of wrapping up loose ends.
I mean, Tolkien. Yeah. That is what happened in Return of the King. There was like three different endings.
Yeah, Kaladin Stormblessed is one of the main characters of the Stormlight Archive up to this point. There is a kind of a rotating cast of main characters. Not really, it's more of an ensemble. But we rotate through each of their perspectives in each book, and Kaladin Stormblessed is, a lot of people consider it the main one. He's the main character. That's not really true. But he is the catalyst for the events that are happening in the world, as far as we know. It's one of the first people to reawaken the Knights of Radiant. So, in the Stormlight Archive, they are on the planet of Roshar, which is relevant because...
Stormlight Archive is the name of the book series?
Yes.
Okay. Following.
Yeah. They're on the planet Roshar. That's relevant because Roshar is part of the Cosmere, and all of... Not all, but most of Brandon Sanderson's stories happen in the same universe and are in some way connected.
Like an MCU thing or like a Stephen King thing in between?
Yeah, I'd say in between. Okay. Not an MCU thing. Definitely not an MCU thing, and significantly more relevant than a Stephen King thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Because there are characters that move between series. Only a couple, mainly one. Spoiler warning for the Stormlight Archive. In this one, it's Wit. Mm-hmm. Wit is in this, and Mistborn, very famously. But Kaladin Stormblessed is a member of Bridge 4. He is an Alethi slave, and, you know, to start the series, That's what he does. He's the son of a surgeon. He's got a little brother. He gets a little aggressive. He's moved off, kidnapped, sold. Boom. Alethi slavery. He is working in the Alethi war camps on the Shattered Plains. I feel like it's probably... I missed my chance to say that this world is like post-apocalypse. The desolation happened... Oh, I don't remember how long ago it was.
Like Adventure Time?
Sort of.
Okay.
Kind of, sort of. Where the Spryn, which are the natural spirits of the world, just kind of stopped bonding with people. And they lost the blessing of what they call the Allfather.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very complicated story. He's had like 7,000 pages to explain this, and I've got like 40 minutes. So, forgive me.
I'm leaving you. You're doing great.
But that's how we meet Kaladin. I'm just going to simplify everything from here on out because we're talking about Kaladin specifically. Okay,
so recap. World had godlike things that would bond with people.
It still
they
does.
Stopped because the people suck.
Yeah, but they did stop bonding.
Okay. Kaladin and these other guys are slaves on this planet?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm good.
So what we've got on screen, this is Bridge 4. This is post-awakening. This is post-all of their awakening. They don't all have these powers until, like, book 3. I mean, they all kind of learn it, but it's a whole thing. That's okay. By end of the first book, you can kind of see how you'd get to this point. But he leads this group called Bridge 4 because they carry Bridge number 4 across the Shattered Plains. They put the bridge down, risk their lives crossing the chasms, so that Alethi soldiers can run across the bridge, fight chasm fiends, and kill them and take their gem.
Gotta be a better way of having a bridge.
No, because the plateaus crumble and change and shift, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah, okay.
Planet, you know.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, planet very weird. Planet very interesting.
Hmm.
Super worth reading. You absolutely need to read this book. I think you'd like it a lot. But this
scare me by talking about how many books there are.
5.
That feels it's intimidating.
Just 5. Each one's over 1,000 pages.
That feels really intimidating.
No. No, it's so easy. But he writes. He doesn't write for like academics. He writes for just regular people who want to read good fantasy story.
Yeah, okay. So they built these bridges so that the soldiers can get across and eventually they get free. I'm guessing
they carry the bridges on their shoulders. They march across.
Okay, so they're not the bridges. They
drop them. They're not the bridge.
Okay, that's what I thought. They were just building a human bridge. I'm like, there's got to be a better way to do that.
No, they carry the bridge. And one day, when Kaladin is just trapped in a chasm, Sylphrena, his Spryn, decides to reenact the bond. So he says the first ideal, which was about to protect others, whatever I said earlier. And he became the first, I think, chronologically. He might not be first, but he's the first we were introduced to.
So
Knight Radiant of this era.
Is the protect thing coming from him, or is that from the spirits?
It's the way it works, the power system, if you will. Knights Radiant are an order of knights who have these abilities that are tied to the kind of Spryn that they're bonded to. For Kaladin, who is a Windrunner, all of Bridge 4, except for like one of them, are Windrunners. So they bond with Wind Spryn.
Mm-hmm. So
and they all have the same ideals, probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Probably. And they all have different powers. Each different kind of Spryn.
But they're all wind?
Allows different power. All of Bridge 4 is wind, except for Rinnerin and Relaine.
Okay. And just because of the Spryn they're with. So they're with like air Spryn, so they have air power. Then someone else might have like fire or water Spryn.
Nope. Like, but something. Yes, conceptually, you are correct.
But just that's not but it's things. Not going to go element wise. No, it's not the route we're going here. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the route we're going. So Kaladin kind of becomes the leader of Bridge 4. They start becoming really successful. He's encouraged because he can now inhale Stormlight to heal himself. Stormlight what? Is kind of, I'm getting there. Stormlight is the energy they use in this world. It fuels contraptions, machines, glowing blue stuff. Yeah, energy. They have gemstones that get encased in glass. They set them out for the storms that ravage this planet, the high storm. And that's what leads to all the really cool biology in this series, because this half of the planet is heavily adapted to surviving this massive storm that rolls through. So, like, the grass retracts into the ground, the trees retract all their leaves. Super cool stuff. Very fun world building. And he is the first person who can actually use Stormlight for something other than a torch, you know, a light source, an energy source.
And that's why your avatar on the show has the glowing blue eyes and the blue spear looking thing.
Yeah. When he's imbued with Stormlight, his eyes glow when he has too much.
That's cool.
And they can fly and stuff.
That's just like a side note. They can fly and stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, it's their, like, their main thing, but.
So I'm with them, like, okay, how they get their power. They're slaves. They're like bridge carriers. Helping with the war stuff. Like, I assume the story is more than just they stop being slaves. Because, like, I feel like the, you know, powers are leading to something bigger than just, yeah, we're tired of being slaves.
Yeah. Yeah. So that desolation, turns out that's actually a cycle that they are finding themselves in the crux of. So you don't learn this early on, but they are trying to reestablish the Knights Radiant to stop another desolation. So Kaladin is really the first step in that. And then Bridge 4 becoming Windrunners is massive, super important in the world. And then we get, you know, a bunch of other characters who are also making bonds with Sprin. So,
yeah. So not just the Bridge 4. Other people also have
them. Other people. Yeah.
Yeah. So the end goal is to what? Stop the cycle of desolation?
Pretty much.
Okay. Cool. Cool. So the series is faces behind us. I'm interested how this, like, exactly how this fits in. Because, like, I can see, like, the Sprin being the face behind Kaladin, and then Kaladin being the face behind the other ones. Is that, I don't know, how does it fit in your mind as someone who actually knows what they're talking about?
No, you pretty much got it. Kaladin does have other inspirations. His dad is a big one for him, but also not, because he kind of fell out with his dad, because he's a slave now, whatever. Kaladin has some other inspirations. I would not consider any of them as significant as Syl, his Sprin.
Okay, so Syl, the Sprin, is the face behind Kaladin. What can you tell me about Syl? Like, what makes her significant other than she's a spirit?
She's the daughter of the Allfather. So there are levels. There are levels to this. Not all Sprin are created equal. Honor Sprin are kind of big, special, fancy Sprin. Named Sprin, not like Syl, like the Allfather, like named by everybody, not just Sprin that have a name. Big, huge deal. The Allfather does bond with a person. He becomes a bondsmith. It's a whole big thing. His name's Dalinar.
Cool. Yeah.
It is super cool. You should read the series. Kaladin becomes just like a massive source of inspiration, because suddenly the members of Bridge 4 aren't dying. The members of Bridge 4 aren't getting hurt. Bridge 4 is, you know, doing really well because their power of flight is actually lashings. They can impose a direction of pull.
Interesting.
That makes sense to you.
Yeah.
So over time, he can make the bridge lighter, literally lighter. He's no longer the most back-breaking labor you can imagine. It's still pretty high up there, but.
Hey guys, Christian here. Have you ever wondered how you can support Systematic Ecology? Well, we've made it a lot easier for you by going to Fourth Wall. Instead of what we've done in the past, Fourth Wall makes everything very easy for everyone involved. Everything is in the same spot. So if you want to find a way to become a member and get access to our exclusive memberships and all the giveaways that we're going to be doing, Fourth Wall is the way to go. As well, if you want to see all the extra episodes and content that we only put to our members, that's the best way to go. Feel free to rate and review us there. You can also leave a donation or tip if that's something you're interested in. And as well, you can help support our All Reading Counts initiative that we do. All the donations that go to that go to our libraries. You also, if you really want to, it's like, man, I really want to hear more episodes about Christian for some reason, or even for even reasons I don't understand, you want to hear Joshua more often. We have episodes listed by host, and you can see everyone there. If you have a favorite host, head that way and support the episodes that they're on. You also find a link to our YouTube page, and we may be adding some special content beyond what we've promised. Everything that was once in multiple different locations and you didn't know where to go, well, it's all in that one convenient place. If you want to know exactly where to go, the link to this will be in the description below.
So did the Sprint choose these people because they're slaves? Does that have anything to do with it?
Nope.
Or is it just coincidence?
Nope. It's coincidence. Well, Syl felt bad for him. She's kind of been around him his whole life as a wind sprint, like a thoughtless wind sprint. And over time they...
Gotcha. Well, so the army people, they're noticing that the bridge carriers are doing better, aren't sucking as much. Does that make them mad, or are they like, cool, our bridges are better?
It makes a couple of them mad. So the post-apocalypse thing we're talking about, this is not the first order of the Knights Radiant. The previous Knights Radiant, when they died, there's a couple of ways for Knights Radiant to die, but usually if the knight dies and the Sprint doesn't, in however way that needs to happen, their armor becomes just armor instead of something they can incorporate and discorporate. So once a knight says all five ideals?
Mm.
It's kind of a scaling thing. As you say the ideals, you unlock more of your powers. But the fully realized
Green Lantern to me.
No. Fully realized Green Lantern. Now you're making me say it. Fully realized Knights Radiant could summon their armor. Their weapon could be anything. When they die, their weapons became mostly inert, just super powerful. Big swords. Most of them were just really big swords. Those are called shard blades, and shard plate is their armor, which just becomes super strong armor. Shard blades can cut through anything except other shards, like the shard plate, which is why they're both super powerful. The power of an army generally is dictated by how many shards they own. Typically, nobles, you know how knights go.
Does that have anything to do with the Sprint? Is that like the more
they're
the knights
sprint. They're
understand?
All dead sprint.
What are dead sprint?
The shards, like the shard blades, the nobles use the shard plate that they use. Okay. They're all dead sprint.
Is that why the sprint don't really want to connect with them?
It plays a factor, but not quite. Mm-hmm. In Wind and Truth, the most recent book, it actually has Adeline Colin, one of the nobles who has a shard plate and a shard blade. Trying to reforge his connection with Dead Sprint, his Dead Sprint, because they can't really die. They kind of go through brain death, ego death, but they still exist. So it's really good.
Gotcha.
It's really good.
Interesting. So, So with this series, some of what we're trying to get to, I'm trying to think through this because I'm just learning all this story all at once.
Yeah, it's a lot.
What happens without Syl, without the Sprint starting to make the connections again? Like, what would
without Syl, Kaladin dies in a chasm, drowning probably from the rains.
And trying to carry bridges.
Yeah.
As a slave. Yeah, that's
depressing. No. He definitely dies in a chasm, drowned from rain, because that's when Syl saves his life.
Oh, okay. But what? So the overall story, though, do they, you know, I'm assuming without Syl, without the Sprint, there's no way of them stopping the cycle because they probably need the powers and all of that for that to really play out.
Without any Sprint, it never would have happened. So.
Because they wouldn't have had all of the tools to create all the evil things.
Yeah.
Although humans might have found another way to do terrible things.
Sure, maybe.
Humans do suck, like, but it wouldn't have been the same cycle.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Interesting. So then without... Now I want to know the other side. Like, without Kaladin, could Syl have attached to someone else and made a bond and things played out? Does Kaladin really matter?
Yeah. I mean, he does. She still could have formed a bond with someone else. She just probably wouldn't have. Someone else could have. I don't know. I'm a timeline purist, you know? I feel like if something's going to happen, it's going to happen.
This is what happens.
So,
what
do you mean? I don't like this question because, like, yeah, it would have happened. It's the story. It has to happen.
Fair. Okay, then. Well, then we'll go on to the other thing. Would you rather, in this scenario, be one of the Sprint or one of the knights who are making the bonds?
Knights Radiant. There are some really cool Knights Radiant powers.
Such
but
as.
That's not to You've been with me to Disney World, right? You know, I like to slide a lot on the wet. That's one of them. Edge Dancers.
So that's just what DJ was doing.
It's pretty sweet. I would probably, I would like to be a Wind Runner, but yeah, I would probably be an Edge Dancer. It's super sick. Or maybe a Dustbringer. They have that same power in common. Mm-hmm. Super sick. Super sick. Now I want to just read all the books again.
But you were saying there is some merit to being a Spren.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. You're a spirit. You just kind of do whatever. There are emotion Spren, nature Spren. You know, like if you get really excited, little exclamation point shaped Spren show up. It's really fun world
building. That's just fun.
It's also why it's hard to adapt this as a series. That's, it's really difficult. Impossible,
actually.
Yeah.
The
Amazon has the rights, by the way. Or maybe I think Apple TV just acquired the rights to make a movie.
Or somebody screens. Needs to, sounds like. So, but like, wouldn't the Spren have all the same powers? Like, why would you want to be one of the people? You'd just be a Spren and have the same stuff.
Spren by themselves, except for the few exceptions, like the named Spren, don't have agency.
Interesting. So they're like spirits, but they can only work through participation kind of deal?
Kind of. They do have their own powers. They're kind of ancillary to others, nature or man.
Gotcha. Okay, so I think I'm following how Spren relates to these people, faces behind stuff. How does Kaladin inspire the other Bridge Four? I think that's what I'm missing.
Literally. He becomes, first, the most powerful person anyone knows. That's very inspiring. But he also, raised by a surgeon, he is, even before he's able to try and heal other people with his Stormlight, he's actually trying to keep these people alive. He cares about them, which as slaves, not many people do. So he bonds with Bridge Four very naturally, kind of becomes their leader, and he works them out of their fugue state, you know, brutal, hard labor slavery, and turns them into kind of a family. And one by one, they form their own bonds with Wind Spren, just because they're, you know, in proximity to and being directly inspired by Kaladin and Syl.
That makes sense. Yeah. So your avatar, whenever we started the show, could have been anything. You could have been Optimus Prime with TJ head. You chose Kaladin Stormblast. Was it because the design's really cool? Or is there something about this character that really specifically is inspirational to you?
Yeah, he's awesome. He's just really cool. I think another one, I don't think character writing is Brandon Sanderson's strong suit. However, I think Kaladin might be one of the best characters ever written. It's possible. The series does have some corniness to it, a bit MCU-ness.
Most good series do.
Once in a while. This last book was really hard to get through, actually, because bad things just always happen to Kaladin. That's his entire life.
So just Spider-Man, Batman, and Kaladin. Things.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not in that order.
Yeah. Just not allowed to be happy, though.
Yeah, not allowed to
be happy.
Yeah. So he becomes the founder of the Knights Radiant. He's the first one to say all five ideals. And at one point, he, Wit. Oh, yeah, I told you about Wit earlier. Kaladin is ascribed an impossible task. He's supposed to help one of the original Knights Radiant, one of the Honor Blades. And
interesting.
Kaladin's like, how am I supposed to do that? And Wit's like, you have to be his therapist. Kaladin's like, what is that? What is that? So he's the world's first therapist here.
Phenomenal. Love it.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. It's not the bright spot of the book by far. It does kind of take you out of the moment a little bit. But Wit is
entertaining, though.
Yeah, it's entertaining. So Kaladin does just kind of inspire people everywhere he goes. Because of Kaladin, you know, more and more people awake to an Order of the Knights Radiant.
Yeah.
And it becomes a big, huge organization.
Is what is so inspirational about him? Is it just because he's so strong? Because he's like a good speaker? He's particularly in tune with the spirit? Like what? Exactly. Right. I'm still trying to nail down.
So there is a pretty strict caste system. In their kingdom, at least, the Alethi kingdom, mm-hmm. And it's based on eye color. So when you bond with a Spren, your eyes become very, very light, usually blue. Mm-hmm. Not always blue, usually blue. So going from dark eyes to bright eyes is huge, because all of a sudden there's this bright eyes guy running bridges, feeding slaves, working, being a slave. So that kind of rising against the machine, as it were, also very significant for a lot of the nobles. Are still like, yeah, that guy sucks, somebody kill that guy. But some of them are like, oh, now I see. I'm not special anymore.
Interesting. So, like, eyes thing change. He's more in tune. He's, like, feeding the hungry. Strong guy. Helping slaves. Is a slave. Okay.
Kaladin also does have a tremendous acumen for combat, because unlike sharp blades, he has an actual Spren, a living Spren, who can be whatever weapon he wants her to be. So, he can also fly a little bit, make other people fly. It's pretty
the
busted.
Flying glow eye spear look is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. It's pretty sick, and it's pretty busted, and the army's like, I think we could use that guy. I think that guy could save a lot of lives.
Yeah. So, you mentioned the five ideas, and he's like the first one to say all five. Like, is saying these ideas or these principles, is that what makes him more in tune with the spirit than others? Or is it he gets attuned and then he knows the ideas?
Yeah, it's kind of both, but it's mostly once you're ready to say the ideal, you'll know it. You will know the words when you're ready to say the words. It's kind of how it works. He says them in like the fifth ideal he says in the last 50 pages of the most recent book, maybe less.
That's cool.
Yeah. So he's the only fully realized Knight Radiant, as far as I can remember. Maybe Dalinar. So maybe the Bondsmith. Who knows?
I can't decide if this is because, like, we're doing systematic ecology and I'm overthinking it, or if this actually is supposed to feel spiritual. But, like, in my mind, it's making me think of, like, the Bible verse that's like, those who hear my word, know my word, and will follow, kind of, you know, things. But those who haven't listened won't know my word. Is that kind of like?
He's Mormon.
So he is actually definitely.
It's entirely possible.
It's funny, though, because it sounds almost Pentecostal. Like, there's a lot of, like, let the spirit lead, then after the spirit leads, you'll learn the words, rather than know this Bible, then you'll find Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he secretly Pentecostal? Are we outing him right now?
That'd be really cool. but I don't think so. They do call one of their Spren the All-Father, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so it's definitely got some spiritual vibes here.
Hey, podcast fam. Want to stay even more connected with the show? We've got you covered. Check us out on Instagram and Blue Sky, where we're posting exclusive content and bonus videos and fun updates that you won't get anywhere else. From sneak previews of upcoming episodes to bonus content, our social accounts are the best way to keep the conversation going. Plus, it's a great spot for you to interact with other listeners and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. When you follow us, it helps us grow and continue bringing you the content that you love. Whether it's a funny poll, a quick clip from today's episodes, or just random thoughts, you'll feel more plugged into everything we're doing. So go ahead and hit that follow button on Instagram and Blue Sky. It's one more way to be a part of the show and keep the good vibes flowing. Thanks for being a part of the family, and we can't wait to see you there.
So, as far as things go, it's a very different world from our own. But if you were to, in our real world, try to either be more like Kaladin or look for other people like Kaladin, or if you want to be more spirit led like he is, how do we do this? How do we find, you know, spirits to help lead us, or be the kind of person who can help lead others like Kaladin does?
All right. Well, there's only one spirit that can lead you. Amen.
Only one guy. I'm pretty sure he doesn't look like that, ma'am. Sorry.
Yeah.
Cap reference, you know.
But it's actually pretty easy to be like Kaladin. So it's kind of hard for me to say that he has inspired me, because I already did that anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, sometimes.
But he's very relatable, you know. If you can help someone that needs help, you should do it. Simple.
Yeah.
That's how
your eyes glow. Like, you should.
You should. No chemicals.
Actually, probably not. That's probably terrible for your
side. No chemicals. Don't.
Yeah.
Eye tattoos are just a matter of if you're willing to get one. I'm not, but go for it.
But the kind of inspiration that he invokes, it's just kind of being there to help people.
Yeah.
Feeding those who need food.
Do what you can.
Yeah. As far as like spirit led, since we got to this whole like when you're ready to say the words, you could say the words. Do you think that's how it works with like our faith or like the divine? Do you think it's kind of more of like a when you're ready to understand the Bible, then it'll make sense? And if you're reading it and it doesn't make any sense, maybe you're just not ready or like.
I mean, yeah, generally that's kind of how that's how I feel like I was raised to read the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm weird with this. Like, I love commentaries. I think it's important to study, do all the hard work. And I think that that stuff is important for understanding the Bible. But having grown up Pentecostal, there is a lot of that whole like pray. Let the Spirit just kind of tell you. And I think that that's important sometimes to just kind of lean on that. I know my grandfather was a mechanic. Now, there's a lot of these stories where like people from all over the town he lived in. He's in Kentucky, not a real huge town, but people would come see him with their car issues. And if he couldn't figure it out, he'd pray, go to sleep, and he would always dream how to fix it. And the next morning, he would just do whatever he dreamt, and it worked out. And like, you know, I'm not trying to do that Pentecostal, like praying the Spirit's going to fix everything. I don't think that's always true. You know, maybe a little bit of both.
True.
Try
more
to
than
know
you
the
think.
Words. Yeah. Try to know the words. But I do think, you know, I think we belittle the Spirit in like intellectual circles sometimes. And maybe we shouldn't. That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Any other thoughts behind the faces behind us? Kaladin, Storm Blessed, the Spree, I think is what they're called.
Sprint. Spree is candy. Spree is candy.
That's my recommendation.
Spree the candy. They're pretty good.
No, but they're anything else as far as Sprint, Kaladin, Storm Blessed, the faces behind us, anything before we start wrapping up?
Kaladin's influence on Bridge 4 allows the Lopin, that's what he calls himself, his name's Lopin, mm-hmm. He is a single amputee. He only has one arm. We were just talking about Massimo earlier.
That's not thinking imagine Massimo.
But Lopin has one arm. And living that life, you know, it gets pretty rough. Two things I love about the Lopin. He's one of the better characters in the series. He's way up there. All of Bridge 4 kind of is. Mm-hmm. You can tell he put a lot of thought into each of them. Except Moash, that guy sucks. but Lopin, even after he becomes a Windrunner and gets the power to regenerate with Stormlight, he just leaves the one arm because he's the Lopin. They also, most of Bridge 4 kept their scars from their brands that marked them as slaves, mm-hmm. Just in defiance of the regime that used to stand. Not where I'm going. Lopin invents burritos. That's where I was going.
Wait, like for real?
Yeah, for real.
Nice.
I don't remember what he called them, but they describe them, and he's like, I invented the perfect food. You can eat it with one hand while you're walking.
that's incredible.
Yep.
I'm gonna put a little bookmark on the scars on the forehead marking stuff, because that's gonna be my bonus question about that forehead marking. Because whenever I did the avatar, you were like, nope, needs this.
Yep.
How to figure out how to do that? We'll talk about what that is. That'll be a bonus question. But. Anything else you want to add real quick though?
It's a lot. All right. I'm not asking you to read the Cosmere. That's ridiculous. That's like 40 books. I'm asking you to read 5 for now. Mm-hmm. There will be 10 when he's done. That's a long ways away. He's taking a hiatus right now. He's got it all mapped out. They're big books. I can go grab one. This is Wind of Truth. Mm-hmm. It is rather large.
Yeah, and you don't understand why I think that's an intimidating read. 5 of those.
It's good. This is the longest one. This is the longest one so far. It's
still a lot of books.
It's a lot of books. 1,323 pages.
For someone with little time and little brain, that's a whole lot.
If you include the epilogue, it is 1,329 pages. It's not that big. It's not that big. Shorter than War and Peace. Just read War and Peace 5 times.
I think outside of the Bible, well, no, Les Miserables is probably larger. That would still be like one of the like 3 biggest books I've ever read.
They're long books, and they're absolutely worth it. If you're not a fast reader, audiobooks, they're really, really good for this
series. Now we're talking.
They're really good for this series. I've just kind of heard some clips from them. I'm not an audiobook enjoyer. I'm a physical book enjoyer, but they are so incredibly worth it if you're a fan of fantasy.
That would have sold me.
Yeah, they're really, really good. Absolutely. Check them out. And if they intimidate you a lot, Brandon Sanderson's other series, I also think, are generally pretty good. If you're younger listening to this, who listens? Why aren't you listening to podcasts? You're so young. You have so much life to live. Elantris is really good. The Reckoners is a really good like superhero story that he did. That's three books. Mistborn is phenomenal. I'd say it's the second best series. It's two trilogies, and they're pretty reasonably sized. Just a couple hundred, a few hundred pages each.
Nice.
Also a really cool power system. So really what we're building up to is how do all of these power systems coincide, and what's the end game for this big universe being connected, intimately connected? We'll find out.
When will Pennywise show up?
When will he show up? Who knows?
All right. Well, on that note then, time to wrap this one up. And now I know it's an audiobook. I'm far more likely to read this.
Yeah, I mean, these are some of the biggest fantasy novels in the world right now. They have audiobooks.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I don't know why I didn't think about that. Mentioned before, our extra question is just going to be what the scar / marking on the forehead is on TJ's avatar, Galadin Stormblast. What's that about? I'm going to ask him. For now, though, we do have to give a recommendation. TJ, if you would recommend something, what are you recommending to our listeners today?
Something else?
I mean, it doesn't matter. It can be this if you want.
I recommend you read The Way of Kings by Brandon Sanderson. It is fair. Really, really good. If you want something to be looking forward to until the year 2040, it's right there. That's when he says he's going to finish the series. And barring an act of God, I do believe it will be finished in 2040.
All right. Well, for me, because I mentioned in an earlier episode that I meant to start reading this again, and I did start reading this again. I haven't finished it this time. Finished it once before, but it's been a while. I'm reading Aleph, something. G. Willow Wilson novel, Gin, and steampunk. You know, get some mystic, get some steampunk, learn about some more Islam culture, Muslim culture at the same time. It's good. It's a really good book, and it's a lot of fun world building stuff. So I'm gonna recommend that one. Also, I want to recommend that you rate and review our show wherever you're listening. Get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. Helps other people find the show, which helps us continue to talk about books that we like. So
I will say, appreciate it. I messed up the name. He's a surge binder, not a wind runner. Windrunner's thing is fly, surge bindings for lashings.
Ooh.
There's a lot of...
Kaladin?
Kaladin, yeah. There's a lot of different orders.
Oh, okay.
You know, I get them mixed up because they tend to share a power with another one.
That makes sense. Also, I want to thank one of our financial supporters. Today, I'm shouting out Gunnar Bergen, who I might be saying his name incorrect. You also want your own shout out, and for me to try to pronounce your name incorrectly, sponsor our show. Go to the website, links down in the show's description. Become an official member of Systematic Geekology down there. You can also get some free extra content, other merch, financial gift, whatever you want to do. There's a lot of stuff on the website to do, including checking out our annual themes t-shirt, the Faces Behind t-shirt. Again, looks great in purple. There's a few other color choices, but I recommend purple. Check it out if you like this series, or if you just like us and want to help sponsor us, we'd appreciate it. Remember, there's a playlist of the entire series down below if you want to see more of the Faces Behind Us series with our annual theme of 2026. And coming up soon for Easter, on Easter Day, we'll be releasing The Faces Behind Us, The Faces Behind Aslan in Narnia. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. It's going to be a fun time. And remember, we are all a chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
Hey friends, it's your pal Will Rose here, and let me break the fourth wall a moment and look directly at you through the camera or speak directly to you in your earbuds. Yep, I'm talking to you, Susie. You too, Chad. You can now support Systematic Geekology on Fourth Wall. That's a website. You'll find all of our episodes, incredible merch like shirts and hoodies and mugs, Chad, I would love to see you in one of those shirts out in the wild.
You get bonus episodes. We answer bonus questions. We have special shout outs. We have certain episodes that use pick. So you help us create and curate the content that we put out for the world to hear. You even get free merch.
And you can support the show at different levels. You could join at the free level. Yep, we love free members, free support. Join it. Or you could become a sidekick for as little as $5 a month. You could join the elves and dwarves for $10 a month. You could become a wizard for $15 a month. Or you could go to divinity school and become a cleric for $20 a month. And that's way cheaper than going to seminary, believe me. Or at $25 a month, you could become a superhero. And let me just say, we love all of our listeners, whether you support us at the free level or the superhero level. We love you. We love geeking out with you. Like, support, share the show. Love you.
Hey, everybody. This is Alex Matthews, and I'm just here to share with you guys about the Anazao Network. Hope you guys could check out Page and Pixel, which is a podcast about books and video games. Another podcast we would love for you to check out is Your Matter Matters. It's a podcast that puts the and in faith and science. We got Let Nothing Move You with Christian Ashley going through the whole Bible, one chapter at a time. And last but not least, another one called Some Joyful Muses, a music podcast with no rhyme, rhythm, or reason. This show has no set schedule or host, but periodically has some members from the Anazao Network posting discussions about various musical topics, everything from Taylor Swift to the music of Adventure Time and more. So I hope you guys will give those a listen, because I definitely will. As a matter of fact, I'm about to hit that subscribe button right now, and you should too.